I'm very much enjoying our song service this morning, and I'm glad that we do have another opportunity to come and to worship the Lord. You know, I appreciate Brother Stephen praying and giving thanks back to the Lord for the strength that he's given each and every one of us to be here, because, you know, one day you might not have it. And sometimes, I know I'm pretty bad about this, that sometimes maybe I don't appreciate like I should something until I don't have it anymore. And so we might all be like that to some degree. But I'm very thankful for the strength we have to come out to God's house and to praise Him, to lift up His name, and to try to worship Him in just the very best way that we know how, and to give honor and glory unto Him each and every Sabbath day. The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter in chapter 3, the Apostle Peter instructs us to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, to sanctify means to set apart. Peter says we are to set the Lord apart inside of our heart. There are lots of things in our hearts, aren't there? Lots of thoughts, lots of different feelings, lots of emotions and whatnot. But Peter says that we are to set the Lord apart in a special place in our hearts. I'll tell you, He's worthy of it. God is worthy of us doing whatever is necessary and making the effort to set Him apart, make a special place for God in our heart that He might reside there. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, I believe in order to be able to answer the second part of what Peter's telling us here about being able to always be ready to give an answer to someone who is asking you a question about the Lord and about your religion, in order to be able to give that answer, I believe it's totally necessary that you first of all have set aside God a special place in your heart. You're not going to give a very effective or a very convincing answer if you've not set God aside in a very special and reserved a very special place for Him in your heart. You know, there's so many things that compete for our attention and compete for our energy nowadays that we have to make a special effort to keep God segregated or separated, if you will, from the things of this world and keep Him in that special place in our heart. I know that this is a special place to me, Bethel Church here, and the congregation, this body of believers that make her up. And I believe that you have set aside God in your hearts. You give evidence that you've already done that. Peter's just reminding us here that we need to have that place carved out in our heart, fenced off, if you will, segregated from all the other things that might be there. Let that place be reserved for God, because He's special. He's your Savior. He's your God, and He deserves it. And He says that we sanctify Him in our hearts. We set Him aside and have that place for a holy use and a holy purpose. And He says, but we ought to be ready to give an answer. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Now, Peter's not saying here that you and I ought to be able to be ready to tell someone what our hope is. That ought to be obvious from them being around you. Somebody that comes in contact with God's children and His people, they ought to already know and be able to see these people are different. These people are not like folks in the world who don't care about God and about His kingdom. and about his church. These folks are different. They have a hope. When tragedy strikes them, when sorrow afflicts them, when they lose their loved ones to death, and they feel the sting of death heavy upon them, when the dark storm clouds of life roll in and envelop them, these folks are different. There's something different about them. They have a hope. They're not just burdened down and stopped in their tracks by every ill wind that blows upon them. People ought to be able to see that there's something different about God's people. But Peter's not just saying, you ought to be able to tell somebody that you have a hope. That's good that we can do that, but look what he's really saying. He's saying, always be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope. That says to me that you and I ought to be able to defend or explain and give some scriptural references to those things that we believe in. It's one thing to be able to tell someone about all the wonderful things that you and I believe and the doctrines of the church that we believe so fervently and so sincerely in our hearts. It's one thing to tell them what they are, but we ought to be able to tell them the reason that we have this hope. That just, to me, that drills down a little bit further, does it not?
Right.
That lays a little more burden on you and I that we ought to be able to explain someone when somebody comes up to you and asks you about this hope that we have. Peter says, be ready to give the reason. Okay? And I'll tell you, it made me really think about this as I thought about this verse a little bit this morning. We have many, many things that we're thankful for. Many things of understanding that God has given you and I that we understand that He's done for us, that He's provided for us, that He is held in reserve waiting for us. A great inheritance in heaven itself God has reserved for you and I. But how is it would we tell someone about the reasons that we have this great hope in us? Well, I'll tell you, I believe one of the first places you might consider starting would be trying to tell them that you believe in the Bible. What is the very foundation and basis for everything we believe? Is it not the Bible, which is God's Word? And you see, there's something important about the Bible. This book is, it's like the book of books. There's no other book like it. God has specially and providentially and supernaturally preserved the words of this book so you and I might have them.
Right.
To benefit and instruct us and teach us. You know, a good place to start would be to try to tell someone the reason that I have such a great hope is because I believe this Bible, I believe what it says, and I believe God's the author of it. God inspired these writers to write these words down, the exact words that He wanted written, not just some interpretation by man, but the exact words that God wanted written. He inspired them to write them down, and then He furthermore has supernaturally preserved them.
That's right.
David says over in Psalms 12, David writes about the Word of God. He said, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation, when they were written, forever. I'll tell you, God has preserved His Word. This is it right here. These are the words of God inspired man to write them down, just like He desired for them to be written down. That's a good place to start, I believe.
Amen.
As you begin to tell someone the reason of your hope is because I believe what God says. I believe, first of all, this is His Word, And I believe what he has said, and it is true. Now, I'll just tell you right here that if somebody asks you a question like that, and they don't believe, they don't agree with you, and they don't believe this is God's preserved word, I mean, look at what the world does today. They're trying to tear down. They've been trying for years, hundreds of years, to tear down God's word. And they are constantly attacking the authenticity of it. People today are constantly looking for ways to cast a shadow of doubt upon the authenticity of God's word. But I'll tell you, I won't fall for it. I don't believe it for one second. God said he's going to preserve his words, and he has done it supernaturally. In spite of what man and in spite of what Satan has tried to do in tearing it down. You can rest assured, you might not see this and you don't see it with your natural eye, but Satan's ministers, okay, the ones that go about, not just preachers, okay, but Satan's ministers, the ones that go about doing his business and his bidding, they have tried to attack God's word for hundreds of years, if not thousands.
That's right.
But guess what? It's still here. And it's still true. Every word of it is still true today, just like when it was written. It's not changed. And so, what I was going to say is that if somebody asks you a question about the reason of the hope that lies within you, and you first of all tell them, well, it all stems from God's word. It comes from God's word, primarily. But yet they don't believe the same thing you do about God's word. If they don't believe these words are providentially preserved by God, I'm just telling you, you're not going to get any further with them.
No, you won't.
You won't get any further with that person if trying to, you're almost wasting your time trying to give an answer. I'm still going to try to give an answer. But if they don't believe these are the words of God, well, you're not on the same playing field, okay? You're not in the same room with each other, really. Because that's where our beliefs really stem from. They come from God's word. So, be ready always to give an answer that for somebody, a man that asketh you a reason for the hope. Well, God's word is certainly one of the reasons. It's probably the number one reason of why I believe the things that I do, because God's word has said it, and I believe it.
That's right.
Okay. Now, I believe also that I believe in God. You might say, what's another reason for having this great hope that we have? I'll tell you, I don't know if we appreciate the hope that we have in our heart sometimes. You and I, and all of God's children, we have a great hope that lies within us of something better and beyond this veil of tears.
That's right.
We have that hope. How precious it is to have that hope this morning. Well, one of the reasons, if somebody should ask me, one of the reasons I have that hope, in addition to God's word and what it says, is that I believe in God.
Yeah.
It's that simple. I believe in God. I believe in a real God. And the way that I believe in God, I tell you this, it's not through intellect. It's not through man's intellect. You see, that so much of the modern culture today has tried to cast the shadows of doubt upon God's word and all the things contained in it. Because man, with his intellect and science and whatnot, that's the sway and that's the leaning of the popular culture today, is to lean toward that. Leaning toward science and evidence that you can see with your eyes and things such as that, rather than believing God's word by faith. You see, the reason I believe God's word so strongly is because of faith. It's because I believe in God, and I believe in that God has given me faith, and I believe that my belief and your belief, I believe it is cemented, rock solid, not because of our intellect or because of science, in ways that people try to prove and disprove things, but I believe our belief is so strong because God has made it that way.
Yeah.
You know what Paul said about it? Paul said this. Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, I'm praying for you. He says, I cease not to give thanks, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You see? That's where this knowledge comes from. Wisdom and knowledge comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from your intellect. It doesn't come from your secular studies. It comes from the Lord. Paul says that I cease not praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. There's another part of our hope, the hope of His calling. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power. Now listen to this. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. You know why you and I believe this morning? According to the working of His mighty power. That's why we believe it so strongly. We believe that this is God's word, but we also believe that God has given us the ability to believe it. God has put a hope. He's put faith in your heart. And I'll tell you, that receiving of the precious attribute of faith is something that you are 100% passive in. That's God's work. You and I receive faith in our hearts at the act of regeneration or being born of God's Spirit. We're totally passive in that. But God's the one that's put it there. And Paul says that it's according to the working of His mighty power is why we believe. This world out here is going nuts about going for science. And you see, as technology increases, the size of man's head just continues to increase also. Because they think that a man thinks he is so smart, and he's becoming smarter and smarter because of the technologies they have developed and are available. People today, there's a whole culture out there, especially in some of these institutions of higher learning, like some of the colleges and universities today. I'll tell you, there's quite a few professors out there that don't believe in God. I'll just tell you that it is. There's a lot of them out there. And as a young person, should you find yourself entering into college or university somewhere to study, you just be ready for it because you're going to encounter it. You're going to run into people in college who rely on their intellect, okay, and science to formulate all their beliefs, rather than upon faith and upon the mighty power of God that works in you and I and causes us to believe the words that He's written in this book. So just be ready for it. You know, I'll tell you, I'm a simple man, but I'll tell you something else that it makes me have a great hope is that I believe the very first verse of Scripture that's written in the Bible. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth.
Yeah.
I believe that. I don't look to science to try to prove that to me because science can't do it. Now, I'll tell you this, there are a lot of things in science that prove that the things in this book are true. Many, many things. We don't have time this morning to go into that subject, but there are many things in science that absolutely prove that everything in this book is true. But everything in this book cannot be proved by science, you see. We walk how? By faith, not by sight. God's people walk by faith and not by sight because there's some things you and I can't see with our natural eyes. There's a whole other world and another realm out here that's happening right now you can't see. The Bible mentions it and references it about spirits and principalities and powers of the air and things such as that. You and I can't see that, but I can tell you it's real. It's there. It's just like those all the radio and television and internet signals that are coming through the air in this room right now. You can't see them, but they're there. I believe Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. A lot of these professors in college are trying to teach you otherwise and try to tell you that science won't support that. There are lots of people today that have taken up the theory of evolution and decided they want to believe that. I don't believe in evolution. I believe in God's account. God created the heaven and the earth. It didn't just evolve. Okay? Somebody asked me, what's the reason for your hope? I'm going to this book. I'm going to tell them about the things this book says and why I believe it. I don't care if I can't find a fossil record that supports my some kind of peculiar belief that I might have about some certain age of the earth and things like that. I believe God created the heaven and the earth just like Moses said that he did.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else, too. I need to get out of the way here and leave Brother Wayne some time this morning, but I believe one of the reasons that the hope that we have is because you and I believe we all believe this, and I believe we know it in our hearts, is that God, we believe in a God that cares for us. Don't you believe this morning that there's a God that loves you? And that He cares about every detail of your life. He's not a master puppeteer. He's not sitting up in heaven and operating the strings of every individual, making them move like a puppet like some people teach. God's not doing that. But I can promise you this morning, God cares for you. God knows about you. He knows the very hairs on your head. And He cares for you. And that's one of the reasons that I believe that I have such a great hope, is because I know that God cares for me and He cares for you. David wrote this about God over in Psalms 40. Listen at what David wrote. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. God is the one that established our goings. We didn't establish them ourselves, did we? God is the one that established your goings. He says, and He had put a new song in my mouth. These are all things God did. He heard our cry. He brought me up. He set my feet. He established my goings, all things that the Lord did. I'll tell you, we serve a God that cares for you. He put a new song in our mouth, in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, not such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, listen at what David writes. Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. David says, many are Thy wonderful works, O Lord my God. Thy works are many, they're plenteous unto us. He says, in Thy thoughts. He says, Thy thoughts which are to usward. He says, they can't even be reckoned or counted up. There's so many. I'll tell you, I believe in a God that cares for every detail of our life. There's not some little trial or trouble you're going to go through or face in life that God's not going to know about. He's going to happen to be looking the other way. No, He's going to know about it. Somebody asked me, what is the reason for the hope that I have? I want to try to tell them about these things. I want to tell them about God's Word. I want to tell them about how I believe in God. And I want to try to tell them about and show them the wonderful things that He's done and the ways He's blessed me in my life. I want to tell them about creation and how I believe the Bible and the biblical account of creation and not what some scientist might come up with. I might even, if I have time, I might even begin to tell them about, I believe, in a resurrection.
That's right.
I believe, well, you want to know why I have such a great hope? It's because this book teaches there is a resurrection coming. There's a resurrection day coming, and when I have to bury one of my loved ones in the ground, that's not the end. That is not the end of it, and I have a great hope that I'll see them again one day because this book teaches there is a resurrection coming. There's so many things, I'll tell you, just depending on how much time you might have to spend with them. But if that's just a few of my thoughts this morning. If somebody asked me of the reason, why do you have such a hope? Tell me a little bit about the hope that you seem to have. I hope you could tell your friends the same thing in case somebody asks you. Tell me about the reason of this great hope, this joy that you seem to have. You seem to be different than everybody else, and you're not weighed down and burdened down with life like so many people are. Tell me a little bit about it. I hope you can tell them about the reason for your hope this morning. May God bless you.